Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live in the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. Trevor, in 30 minutes, his thoughts on the Titans draft class as a whole, plus Barry Trotz at 5 o'clock. So, Rand Carthon was on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday at 7 a.m. Ian, do you think I was awake at 7 a.m. yesterday?
No, probably not.
I was not. So I texted Robbie. I said, what did Rand say, you know, in the interview? Was anything interesting, anything fascinating? And then I went to walk my puppy, and so I had my headphones on, and I was listening to the Rand Carthon interview on Robbie and Rex Road. And as I was doing it, Robbie said, yeah, he said about Latham playing right or left tackle, something you're going to hate, which is that you need two tackles in this league in order to be successful anyways. And Robbie's right. I do hate that. But the reason that I hate this is not because I don't agree with it, but it is because this is now the new sentiment the Titans are rolling out there in case their grand plan for their seventh overall draft pick doesn't work, which is converting him to left tackle, saying that, okay, if he has to go back to right tackle, it's okay because you need two new tackles, right? This was Rand Carthon yesterday on Robbie and Joe.
I mean, the way we really see it is in this game, you need two offensive tackles. The position is just offensive tackle at this point. All these kids, whether you started off at left or you started off at right in college, you know, these kids, when they start training for the combine for their pro day, they train at both sides, and you get to see them at these combines and pro days playing from both sides, you know, in terms of switching up their stances. So it was a big part of it. But in this game now, most of the best rushers in the league now rush over the right tackle, so you have to have two in this league regardless.
Okay. I don't disagree with the fact that you need to have two tackles. How many times have we told the right tackle story on this program? So I don't disagree with that. I still think left tackle is more important because with a right-handed quarterback, it protects his blind side. He can't see that rusher, whereas he can't see the rusher in front of him. Now, I don't care if you've got a better rusher on the right side than the left side. The quarterback can at least see it. So if he sees the guy, he can throw it away or do something. But here's what I don't like. It's awfully convenient for Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan that now that they've drafted a right tackle who they plan to move over to left tackle, but they don't actually know can play left tackle, that now it doesn't matter what tackle spot he plays because you have to have two tackles in order to play in this league. And I'm sure a lot of people heard that and thought, makes sense to me. Worst case scenario, he can't play left tackle. That's fine. He'll play right tackle because you need a right tackle anyways because you got to have two tackles. Here's the problem. They only have one tackle, period. It's Latham. They only have one tackle. So if Latham plays left tackle, that's great. But they don't have a right tackle. And if Latham can't play left tackle and he has to move over to right tackle, then they don't have a left tackle and they're in the exact same spot that they were last year when they were rotating Andre Dillard and Jalen Duncan. So again, the narrative today is we have to have two tackles. So it doesn't matter if Latham plays left tackle or right tackle. Convenient. Reality is you have one tackle. And the Titans went into free agency. And how many tackles did the Titans sign? Zero. And they added one tackle with a seventh round draft choice for a trade from a guy from Cleveland who has never started an NFL game. That's not a starting tackle. Jermaine Illuminor was out there. Jonah Williams was out there. Andres Pete is out there now. And the Titans just completely ignored the tackle position. So what are they going to do? If you need two tackles, and if tackle is an important position, so important that it doesn't matter if it's right or left tackle, which I don't agree with, but make of it what you will, who's the other tackle? Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.?
PT.
He sucks. Duncan sucks. The only thing that they've done when it comes to adding tackles or getting rid of tackles or whatever it may be this offseason, is they've decided that they don't want to play Peter Skoronski or Dylan Radins at tackle. So take them out of it. So I literally laugh out loud at this game of CYA that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are playing. Because they're doing this whole, well, you know, we got to have it because you got to play tackle either way. So if he ends up being a right tackle, it's not a total failure. And they're doing that because just in case the seventh pick, again, the highest pick the Titans have made since Corey Davis, if he can't play left tackle, which is their grand master plan, if he can't play left tackle, they want the out that, well, hey, at least he can play right tackle, and it's not that big of a difference because you need two tackles either way. But it ignores the fact that they don't have a second tackle. Congratulations, Brian Callahan. You're right. You need two tackles. You only have one. It's mind-boggling. Because, again, the premise is it doesn't matter if J.C. Latham plays left tackle or right tackle, a premise I don't necessarily agree with, but that's the premise. It doesn't matter if he's a left tackle or he's a right tackle because you need two tackles. Now, that I agree with. But, again, it's a problem when you only have one tackle. And as far as the whole Latham left tackle, right tackle, it is a failure if he cannot play left tackle. I mean, I talked to a former NFL coach this weekend, the same one that texted me when the Titans were on the clock and said, take the tight end out of Georgia, he's going to the Hall of Fame. And I said to him, I go, I could not believe that Brian Callahan at the press conference on Thursday said, well, if he can't play left tackle, we'll move him back to right tackle. I said, if he can't play left tackle, this is the seventh pick. If he can't play left tackle, if you're convinced that he can play left tackle and you're making this kind of investment in him and he can't play left tackle, you're fired. And I said that, and I was thinking that the former coach was going to be, oh, Jared, you're so hard. You shouldn't say that. He laughed. The coach laughed and said, I'll tell you, man, you say what everybody else thinks. And I'm like, because these coaches, they know. They know. So, Robbie's right. When he texted me and he said, you're going to hate that Rand said that it doesn't matter if Latham can't play left tackle because you need two tackles. He's right. I hate that. Number one, I hate this idea that it's okay for you to miss on the seventh pick. I hate the fact that it is okay for you to have a plan B in case you whiff on an incredibly high pick. But more so, I hate it because you only have one tackle. Congratulations. You got to April 30th and you finally realized that you need two tackles. But in March, in free agency, when this was an issue, apparently you didn't think you needed two tackles. It's amazing. It's astounding. And guess what's going to happen? The same thing that happened last year, which is you're going to get into September and October, and you're going to be recycling through this group of bums that's gotten everybody else fired already. PT, Dylan Radins, Andre Dillard, Jalen Duncan, these guys have all gotten people already fired. Radins and Petit Frere got Robinson fired, and PT and Duncan and those guys got Vrabel fired, and now you're going to roll back with the same guys, I guess. So when I hear this new line of Titan bullcrap, it's like today, and look, this didn't start with Rand. Vrabel offered up a lot of bullcrap. Robinson at the end, a lot of bullcrap. So this isn't new to them. But it's like, what's the flavor of the month bullcrap that they're going to sell us? And then watch it become a problem. Even though in April and May, they're like, oh no, it won't be a problem, we promise. Just like last year. Just like when I got to training camp and I asked Vrabel, I said, are you nervous about the offensive line depth? And he said, I'm not nervous. I'm excited to coach them. I'm excited to coach Jamarco Jones and Jalen Duncan and Chris Hubbard and Andrew Rupchich and OJ. And I'm like, OJ! But I guess he wasn't nervous. Now, if I had told him then, I'd said, now, if this doesn't work out, you're not going to have a job next year. Now, are you nervous? How do you think you would have felt? So this whole, oh, well, you need two tackles. No crap. The problem is, you have one. Oh, goodness gracious. 615-737-1025. Robert in Spring Hill says, Jared, there's a lot of us out here that have been saying this all along. Even if they had drafted Joe Alt, they would still only have one tackle. So this is not new information. True, you're right. And I would still be complaining about right tackle. Hey, Ian, let's say that the Chargers had drafted J.C. Latham and the Titans at 7 took Joe Alt.
Okay.
Do you think, and let's say the draft was the exact same the rest of the way.
Okay.
So
just those swaps?
Sweat and, yeah. Do you think I'd have told the right tackle story at some point?
Probably.
Because they don't have a right tackle. You know, people were tweeting me and texting into the show Friday, and they were like, you've been the one complaining about right tackle all this time, and now they got a right tackle. But they didn't get a right tackle. They got a left tackle. They're telling you he's a left tackle.
We talked about going tackle-tackle first two picks.
I wanted to go tackle-tackle.
I mean, that was a scenario that was brought up, and some people were for it. Some people weren't as gung-ho, but that was an option that we talked about, I think.
Let me tell you something. I know Daddy's a good line coach. But if you're going to roll PT and Jalen Duncan out there and they stink, I ain't giving you any benefit of the doubt because I know they suck. So that's on you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot of you want to weigh in on this, so we'll get to this. Plus, Adam Schefter threw out some what I think is bullcrap about what could have happened Thursday night. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
How's your anxiety level?
Bad.
The pick is in, Jared.
It's in.
Here he comes. Oh, here's the commish.
Let's see.
Here it comes.
If it's Joe Alt.
With the fifth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Joe Alt.
Oh, my God!
No, 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 no.
Jared
oh my
is God. Crying now. He oh doesn't know what the Titans are going to do now.
Tell him how you feel.
You guys got to go to Chris Sanders' Twitter feed because he's got video evidence of Jared.
Oh, my gosh.
Jared now has his head down on his right wrist. His left arm is bent around, and his left hand is in a tight fist. He's going to punch himself in the face in any minute.
There you go. That was Thursday night. It wasn't a good moment. And I thought that because the Chargers had no wide receivers, I thought that they were going to go wide receiver with Malik Nabers on the board. And when they didn't, oh, my heart sank. But Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and apparently, according to Schefty, he thinks that if I had been happy about Malik Nabers at 5, that I still would have been upset one way or another. Here is a nugget from Adam Schefter that I was stunned by.
Hey, I believe that the Giants wanted Joe Alt to slide to them. That's my belief, that was the hope that he was going to get to them, and I think some of this quarterback talk for the Giants might have been a little camouflage to try to get somebody like Minnesota to trade up, because if they traded up to the Chargers spot at 5 and gotten J.J. McCarthy, Joe Alt would have slid right to the Giants slot at number 6. Mm. And that would have been ideal for a team that last year allowed its quarterbacks to be sacked 85 times. And in my mind also, Jim Harbaugh was never going to go wide receiver at 1. That's just not what he's looking to do. He wants to hit you in the mouth, and there have been some talk that they like J.C. Latham an awful lot. They like Joe Alt, who was considered the top tackle. I think when you spoke to people in this league, they all were convinced all along that the Chargers were going offensive tackle. Now, there were some people that thought it would be Latham. There were some people who thought they could move back from 5, and it would be Latham if they moved back, but they just stood right where they were. They took Joe Alt. Now, again, his natural position would be left tackle, Rashawn Slater, whose option they picked up. He's a left tackle. But you know what? You got two great tackles, and you make it work. Maybe you put Joe Alt here at right tackle. He could play there. And they're just going to say, this is how we're building our team.
Okay. Let's start with the idea that the Giants were going to take Joe Alt. bullcrap, right? Now, he did take an in-person visit to the Giants. He went to the Giants, he went to the Jets, he went to the Titans. But they were trying to trade up to 3 to get Drake May. And if they weren't trying to get Drake May, which Albert Breer is reporting, they offered 6 and their first rounder next year to New England to get up to 3. I mean, that's for Drake May. And if it's not for Drake May, it's got to be for Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Because the Chargers have 2 tackles and took Joe Alt. The Giants have 3 tackles. They're really going to take that guy? Like, I have a hard time believing that. I think now it's like people are, oh, yeah, actually we wanted Jimmy, and oh, yeah, you know, I don't know. Somebody on Twitter said, put this up there with Adam Schefter saying that Condoleezza Rice was going to be the Browns head coach. I'm like, I cannot imagine Joe Alt to the Giants. Now, I do wonder this, though. You know, the word on the street was that the Titans love J.C. Latham. Charles Robinson said it. TD said it. Charles Robinson said the day of the draft that the Titans were totally fine walking the card in at 7 with J.C. Latham. I do wonder if the Chargers put all that out there to see if Tennessee would call. You know, oh, wow, the Chargers are going to take Latham. That's our guy. Call him. What will it take for us to get to 5 so you don't take Latham? And Latham said in his availability the night that he got drafted, Latham said that the Titans were calling him asking if the Chargers had been talking to him. So I do wonder if the Chargers were trying to fan the Latham fires so that they could get the Titans to try to trade up to 5, because apparently the Titans love Latham so much. I believe that Latham was the top guy on the board for the Titans at tackle. Now, if they had taken Latham over Alt, woo, that would have been something. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Bubba's in Belmead. He's up next here on the program. Bubba, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
I think you've got this tackle thing all wrong. I'm surprised at you. I really am. I think the issue is, and I talked with Coach last night, they're going to go with an unbalanced line. They're going to put the center and then a guard, and then Chig is going to be the tight end, and they're going to overbalance with one tackle on the left side or the right side, whichever is going to be the strong side, and that's how they're going to get away with one tackle. What do you think?
Thanks for the call. Texter to the text line says, I have been a Titans fan since the beginning. I was an Oilers fan. During the draft, I told my son after the Latham, and especially the Tavondre Sweat pick, that I am done with this team. Originally, I was a fan because of the run and shoot. They have never been that as the Titans, and I am sick of this team, says the Texter. He says, I am thinking about being a Chargers fan. Thus, I won't be accused of being a bandwagon fan, and they have more upside than the Titans. Let me say this. As much as I love Joe Alt, not giving Justin Herbert an elite receiver, and I believe they traded up for Ladd McConkey, right? That's the guy they ended up with. Not giving Justin Herbert Malik Nabers, I think is so, so stupid. Like, I think it is so stupid to not give Herbert that guy. What's the point of a franchise quarterback if he's got nobody but Ladd McConkey to throw the ball to? They don't have a tight end. So, I mean, hey, more power to them. They got the guy I wanted. And it sounds like the Titans would have taken Latham even if Alt had been there, which, boy, would that have gotten me worked up more than I got worked up. But come on now. One texter says, Jared, let the professionals do their jobs. Obviously, the Titans believe in PT and the rest of the players. New head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Right. But the players are always more important than the coaches. Listen to me here. Because a lot of you guys, when the Titans general manager, the guy who supposedly is making the picks, though who knows, when he decided not to go to the Senior Bowl to get the coaching staff together, you guys said, well, they got to put the coaching staff together. Coaches are not as important as players. Players are more important than coaches. And everybody will tell you that. If you keep playing the same guys that got the other coach and the other GM fired, you're going to end up with the same fate. That's just how it works. Trevor will join us next. His reaction, we know that he liked the Latham pick on Thursday night and changed his tune. when it came to right tackle, left tackle. We'll see if now he's had some time to think about what he thinks about the Latham pick. Plus, the Tavondre Sweat pick, the red flags, the player himself. What does Trevor make of that? We'll do that coming up next. His reaction to the Titans draft. First, let's talk about the Tennessee Men's Clinic. Fellas, you've put this off for way too long, and it's time to get it done and move forward with your sex life. And the Tennessee Men's Clinic is the leader in bedroom confidence. The reality is, pills often quit working and guys start making excuses for not coming to bed. Did you know that studies show that men will be more irritable and argumentative before bed just to avoid failing at intimacy? And yes, I know, men hate going to the doctor, but the Tennessee Men's Clinic was created in 2014 to take care of guys just like you. For a decade, the urologists and providers at the Tennessee Men's Clinic have helped guys with ED and weight loss, and they now even offer aesthetic enhancements and cosmetic procedures. Their ED and weight loss treatments truly change lives with no surgery, and they are seeing success rates as high as 90%. They specialize in seeing guys who think they're out of luck regain hope that they can be successful in the bedroom and beyond. And they even offer same or next day appointments. It's time to feel amazing and hit your goals this year. Stop thinking about it and do it. Get in there with the Tennessee Men's Clinic. Call 615-208-9090. That's 615-208-9090. Or go to TennesseeMen'sClinic.com to book an appointment today. That's TennesseeMen'sClinic.com. The draft is now officially behind us, and there's nobody I'd rather talk about it with than ESPN's Trevor Maddich, who is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics and ESPN Bet Sportsbook Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trev, you were with us on Thursday night. You saw the freakout when the Titans picked J.C. Latham. You liked the pick. And then, when you heard they were going to try him at left tackle, you, because of your belief in Bill Callahan, you think that it may work. Let me ask you this. Now that we've had some days to digest this, how exactly do you feel about the Latham pick and his ability to move to left tackle? Oh, Trevor's muted. Trev, unmute yourself. That's all you got to do. And he's still muted. Oh, and I set the question up so good, too. Oh, man. Well, I was wondering if you'd... There you go. Trevor?
Okay. I think I'm back.
Go for it. Your thoughts on the Latham move.
I thought that as a big guy at around 340 pounds or so, Latham is actually very nimble, like left tackle nimble. The question is, can he develop the techniques over there, the angles, the things he needs to do that are completely opposite from right tackle? He's got the physical ability to do it. Now he has to be able to show that he can actually get it done to execute the techniques. At right tackle, he was a devastating run blocker for Alabama. But as a pass blocker, his technique left a lot to be desired. But the good news is his biggest problem over there was that he would overset too much. In other words, he would set too far and give up the inside. And so it's a lot easier to take a guy and have him set a little bit less than it is to take a slow guy and try to get him back out there to cut off the corner. Well, he showed he can get out there and a little bit too far at right tackle. So that tells me that he's got the speed, the footwork, the nimbleness to be able to get it done, but he just needs to work on it at left tackle. Now, it is a risk, because we don't know if he's going to be able to actually do that. Left tackle is a completely different animal from right tackle. However, he's played on the left in high school. He's practiced on the left to a degree. And it's, to me, not just Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach for the Titans, that can get him coached up. But I think he has the physical traits that you need to succeed there. It's just that he's not ready to step in right now at that position. He will need some work.
Trevor, my theory is I would put J.C. Latham at right tackle this year. I'd sign Andrus Peat to a one-year contract, stick him at left tackle. And then next year, I would move J.C. Latham to left tackle because he will already, you know how to be a pro, know what it takes in the NFL, know what edge rushers in the NFL look like, that kind of thing. So it'll be easier for me to not teach him how to play in the NFL, but teach him technique next year and have the whole offseason to do it. And I just think that the lack of practice time, lack of preseason reps, everything else could be a humongous problem. And not just his own development, but also his development, you know, the team's entire offensive line development, because if they get out to training camp and he can't play left tackle, now it sets everybody back, and yet it doesn't seem like the Titans want to do that. Do you think that my approach is the better approach?
I do. When they first drafted him, I thought, okay, the best pure left tackle on the board, Joe Alt, is not available. The Chargers took him at number 5. So they took the best right tackle on the board and probably the best tackle on either side remaining, a natural right tackle. And I thought they could keep him there on the right side and then figure out what to do on the left side. Usually you're better off putting a guy at his best natural position and letting him develop. And if that leaves a hole somewhere else, figure out what to do with that hole. Instead of putting a guy at a position that's not a natural position, have him struggle to succeed there and then have him begin his development at his natural position at some point down the road. That's why I think they did the right thing with Peter Skoronski, even though they needed a left tackle, by putting him right away at left guard and letting him develop there, because that's the place they want him to be. So I thought that Latham would be plugged in at right tackle, let that be a problem solved, and then worry about the rest of the stuff. But they believe that because of his nimbleness, his footwork, his kind of unicorn ability to move the way he does for a guy his size, that he'll be able to make the switch and be a starter in year one on the left side. Now, that's a risk, but as I watch him move, as I watch him mirror, in other words, when he takes pass rushers on the right side at Alabama that are 100 pounds lighter than he is, 100 pounds lighter than he is, and they try to move him into space by starting outside. And then when he's moving that big body outside, the smaller, lighter pass rusher explodes to the inside, figuring that he'll be able to change direction faster and he'll be able to run faster to get to the inside gap. You find a lot of the time this guy, J.C. Latham, is able to change direction and slide inside and make the block anyway, as long as he doesn't overset. So those traits, I think, will, you know, they give him a good chance to be successful at left tackle, but it's much more of a risk to move him over there right off the bat than it would be just to leave him on the right.
Trevor Maddux is with us on the program. Trevor, what do you make of the rest of the offensive line? This idea that, okay, if Latham doesn't work, we can move him back to right tackle, and then what that does for his confidence. Because I'm saying, basically, put yourself in the position of the GM or the coach here. If you try him at left tackle and it doesn't work and he has to move back to right tackle, that's going to look like a failure. And if he goes out to left tackle and he's learning the technique and he's getting beat at practice and training camp every day by Arden Key or Harold Landry, that's going to make everybody sour on him very quickly. And I worry about that for his confidence. I worry about that for the confidence in the organization. And then I worry about, what are they going to do at the other tackle spot? I mean, can they just move tackles in and around and, oh, well, you know, you were spent all offseason learning right tackle, Nicholas Petitfrere, but now we're moving you to left tackle because the other guy can't play the spot. It seems too risky to me. It seems too messy to me. What do you think?
It can be, because you're right about the dominoes that could fall. If he's got to move from left tackle to right, that means they will have given him time to show that they don't trust him at left tackle, at least in the beginning. Well, the people playing right tackle now are either going to move into a backup position, kick down to guard, or switch over to the left, while Latham would then move over to the right. And so it delays everybody's development. And so you're right about that, Jared, that it is a risk. Now, the reward, though, is that if he picks it up quickly, if he picks it up naturally, then, and if he continues to grow and progress once he kind of gets the basics down, then they have their starting left tackle for the next decade, which is what everybody wanted with Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, who wasn't available when they picked at number 7. You know, the idea was, okay, we want a pillar at that position that we never have to worry about for the next decade. And so the reward for Latham is that if it does work out there, they've got that guy anyway. And in some ways, Latham is actually a better athlete than Joe Alt is. Joe Alt is a precise technician, but Latham has more upside than Alt from a standpoint of just crushing people. And so, yeah, it's more risky to do it this way and take the risk that he can make it at left tackle. But if it works out, then they're going to be golden.
Trevor Maddux is with us. What did you think of the Tavondre Sweat pick at 38?
this is all about the interview process and the background check process, because Sweat on the field at Texas was an absolute monster. It's not that he was so quick off the ball like Byron Murphy, his teammate at defensive tackle at Texas, was. He kind of get it off the ball, but then at 370 pounds or so plus that he played at Texas, he lost weight in the pre-draft process. It's about 360 now. But he would always require two offensive linemen to block him, because if they didn't get two guys, he would just mash whoever he was blocking right back into the face of the quarterback. And he can do that in this league as well. He's just that big and that powerful. In addition to that, from a run standpoint, one guy isn't going to block him. Sorry, not even in the NFL. You're going to have to double team him and stay on him longer than you normally would on a typical double team, where two offensive linemen will double team the defensive tackle briefly, and then one of them will come off on the linebacker. Well, briefly doesn't exist with this guy. You've got to stay on him longer. That means that he will eat up multiple blockers for a longer period of time and allow the linebackers of the Titans to run free and slash into holes in ways they wouldn't be able to with a normal human being in front of them playing defensive tackle. So these are all things that he can do on the field that are incredible if he does two things. One is takes care of his body and is, you know, even loses some weight from 360 or so. Because as big as he was at Texas, he's not going to be able to play that big in the NFL. Because in the NFL, they will game plan to make him run and wear him out. The second thing is, off the field, there are some question marks for him, and he'll need to prove that he straightens all the way up and doesn't have a problem mentally with discipline. As long as he can show those two things, this guy is going to be a force multiplier, because he will stuff the run and he will push the middle of the pocket into the quarterback's face, which will make the edge rushers more effective, because the quarterback won't be able to step up into a pocket that's occupied now by Sweat pushing two offensive linemen back into his face. So the potential reward here is enormous if he can have some discipline.
Is there any scuttlebutt that you heard about him off the field? Because we know about the DWI, we know about the weight, and I do think this, if the guy got to 380 at Texas, it's really hard for me to envision him being 350 in the NFL. But there's a lot of talk about, you know, the draft people saying that there's a lot of people in the league saying there are maturity questions there. And the Titans seem to love skipping over red flags, whether it's Legarius needs knees, Calvin Ridley's suspension, Julio Jones, Caleb Farley. They seem to love just, you know, oh, yeah, no, it'll be fine, and then dealing with the consequences. In your college football circles, have you heard any scuttlebutt about Tavondre Sweat?
Not to that degree. It's just what you saw, which was he didn't maximize the physical body that he had as a tool on the football field, because he carried around just too much adipose. You know, he just carried around too much weight. You know, imagine if he loses 50 pounds off of there and he gets down from 380 to 330. Imagine not having,
well, we don't want him skinny,
pounds
Trevor.
Of sandbags on him, you know, but that'll make him more explosive. It'll make him more quick with his first step. And so, you know, my guess is he'll play around 350 or so. They'll have to sub him out a fair amount. But I didn't hear anything to your question, Jared, that would tell me that he would be a real problem. It's just that you would look at him and say, okay, you're going to have to be better in the NFL at that. Thing about the NFL, though, is that, you know, the guys will hire chefs to come in and cook every meal for them, prepare every meal. Here it is. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. And as long as they don't sneak on out to Chipotle, then good things can happen for them. So right now, other than the DUI, I haven't seen, and that could be just a one-time thing, I don't know. I haven't seen anything that gives me huge red flags beyond just the discipline of his body.
Trevor Maddux is with us, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook and Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. What about the day three picks, the linebacker, the corner, the receiver, etc.? We'll get Trevor's thoughts on that. And what does he think of the draft class as a whole? That's up next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
With the 106th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Cedric Gray,
I like him.
Linebacker, UNC.
So they didn't get to the 1K, but they got a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, he's the best linebacker available. I thought he would be gone last round. I'm a little surprised he's still sticking around. Excellent cover ability. He's an outstanding blitzer. And as you'll see here, the eyes work well as well. The change of direction, able to read and react and make a play in space. The coverage ability that I discussed. Look, if you can't cover at linebacker right now, you cannot get on the field or stay on the field the way the game is played. The instincts, here he is again. We have to show the App State, really, guys?
Thanks. Yes, that's cold.
Put that one up. Thanks, Ben. Then you see him again here as a blitzer. CD, I mentioned that reference there, what he can do. Athletic linebacker, I like this move a lot.
And how about quick, a little bit of a legacy move? You remember the guy they had before? That came from Zach Brown. Came from the University of North Carolina. A run, chase, hit linebacker. Cedric Gray can be the next one.
This is also a guy who has led the team in tackles for 3 years. But I would add, special teams demon. He'll play right away on special teams, too. They'll love that.
There you go. That was the pick. Cedric Gray in the fourth round. Trevor Maddich with us, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook and Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters. Trevor, let's start there. Pick 106. I am nervous to say Cedric Gray out of North Carolina should be the green dot inside backer for the Titans, because I think that's a lot of pressure to put on a day three draft choice. But what do you think of the pick, and what do you think of his ability to get on the field right away?
He will get on the field right away in special teams, because he is phenomenal at special teams. His body and his speed, that combination, his aggression, I think are tailor-made for the kicking game. And really, this starts a run of players, and we'll talk about this here, Jared, starts a run of players that may have question marks as to whether or not they can get on the field as regular position starters, but that all can make the team because of their speed and their size and their special teams prowess. And so, I mean, this is the first of many that will make this team better top to bottom. As far as a starter is concerned, you know, he is a sideline to sideline guy. When he reads the hole and hits it, he hits it fast, and he can beat the offensive lineman to the mesh point and be disruptive. The problem is he doesn't have a whole lot of play strength, and if he doesn't read it and hit it fast and has to deal with the blocker, then the advantage goes to the offense. So they'd be best putting him in an off-ball position and let him read, react, and fly to the football. This is where a guy like a Tavondre Sweat, playing defensive tackle at 360-some pounds, is actually good, and it's a good combination, because then you've got two offensive linemen eaten up, and Cedric Gray, who's a smaller linebacker that doesn't have tremendous strength, can run off of that, run free, and get into the gaps.
Trevor, what did you think about Jarvis Brownlee, the corner out of Louisville? I talked to the athletic director the morning before he was drafted, and he said he's a good kid. And then when they drafted him, he said that if he's healthy, that he'll be a good player for the Titans. What do you think of him?
I like him. I liked the pick, especially where they took him.
Sure.
Because he's a guy that is you know, if he wants to be a special teams terror, he will be. I mean, at 5'10", 194 pounds, he's not tall, but he's not small, and he can run. And the thing is, when you watch him play defense, he is hyper-aggressive. He's at his best when he's at the line of scrimmage in press coverage, where he gets two hands on a receiver and just beats the stuffing out of that receiver at the line, doesn't let him get off into his route. He's great at that. And then he's great as the route starts to develop short and intermediate. The problem is that as that route then starts to develop farther down the field, he starts to get kind of loose, where he kind of loses the receiver a little bit. He loses track of the ball as it's coming down, things like that. So teams will try to get deep on him, and the Titans defense will have to make sure they give him some help over the top, or at least play him in positions where he's not going to be exposed deep. But from a standpoint of press coverage and disrupting plays before they get started, fantastic. And from a standpoint of special teams, another guy who makes them faster and more athletic there.
What did you think of the rest of the day three picks?
You know what? I thought the rest of the day three picks were kind of like that. You know, you got guys that are fast and that can contribute that way. I mean, Jaquan Jackson, wide receiver out of Tulane. He's 5'9", 188. You know, he's not a real big guy, but he's very shifty. He's a punt returner kind of guy. He's got good straight line speed. And once again, he gives them the ability to outrun people farther down the depth chart on the other side. He's not going to be beating number one or number two corners in the NFL, but he'll be going against number three and number four corners in the NFL. So these are the kinds of things that really help. I think James Williams, with the next pick out of Miami, he's a safety, and he is to me intriguing. He's 6'4", 231. He's got good speed, but he's basically a linebacker who Miami had to playing. They should move him to linebacker because, I mean, teams will do this all the time where they'll take a slow corner, make him a fast safety. A slow safety becomes a fast linebacker. A slow linebacker becomes a fast defensive end, that kind of a thing. So by putting him up near the line, you're maximizing two things. One is he's got good size and good length, but the other is he's best at man coverage against big guys, so tight ends. If you want to match up against a big tight end, this is your guy, and he should be able to get on the field as a rookie doing that.
Trevor, how much better do you think the Titans are today than they were on Wednesday of last week?
I think they're a lot better. I think they're dramatically better because they've got a left tackle, probably. Certainly they've got a right tackle with J.C. Latham, but I think he's going to be fine at left. The more I think about it, the more I think he'll be okay. The big question is how long it will take him to get to that point, and then he'll get to where he's much, much, much more than okay. I love that. I like the Tavondre Sweat pick with the second round pick because he's a force multiplier. He'll make the edge rushers better. He'll make the inside linebackers better because he'll keep them clean. Then everybody else, a whole bunch of guys that can run and hit. And you can use guys like that. And a lot of times people will kind of downplay the importance of upgrading your speed and athleticism on special teams. Yeah, well, it's special teams. You know, we need a starting this or that. Well, yeah, you do need a starting this or that. But when you're talking about a fifth round and a sixth round and a seventh round pick, are these guys going to be your starters there? Maybe not likely. Mm-hmm. But if they can make the team and make your special teams better, you can develop them and see if you can turn them into a starter or at least a rotational player on offense or on defense. And they've done that with the later round picks. A lot of people don't like the Titans draft top to bottom. There are risks involved. But I'll tell you what, if the top two picks pan out, if J.C. Latham is able to move over to the left side and be a pillar there, and if Sweat loses some weight and stays focused and disciplined, then everybody else in this draft is going to be a contributor that they keep on this team. And the top two are going to be ginormous upgrades. So I it's risky. We don't know how it's going to work out yet, but sitting at it, looking at it from this vantage point, the potential and the likelihood of reaching that potential, I think is very encouraging.
Trevor Maddich, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook and Houston Clinic Orthopedics. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Jared.
Yep, Trevor joining us on the program as always. Barry Trotz joins us next. The Predators are in a 3-1 hole. How do they get themselves out of it? We will ask the man himself, Barry Trotz, and we'll do that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.